and welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Leal, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. Well, here we are, folks, in the last month of the year 2008, and we've made it this far, haven't we? So many things are ramping up to come upon us in the coming year of 2009. We have a new president that has been chosen to lead us into this new world of change, this new world where the beast will rise out of the sea, the new world order. They have chosen their man, folks. His name is Barack Barry Hussein Obama. What kind of change are we going to be looking at in the coming months? History is being written right now, and it's going to be a very interesting ride. I want to say real quick, in my previous broadcast of 121, we started talking about the Antichrist, and we started to dissect the scriptures that spoke about the Antichrist. And I plan to do part two, but last week, my family and myself came down with a heavy-duty sickness, cold. I lost my voice for a few days, so I wasn't able to do that. And now I'm better, but there is some pressing information, and there's a new word that God has given to me that I really, really need to share with all of you listeners. So the continuation of the Antichrist will come in the future. I don't want to promise it's the next one because something else might come up. But it is coming, folks, so just bear with me. I appreciate your patience. I do enjoy breaking open the scriptures, but the things that I want to talk about in this program have to do with some things that are pressing and that we need to really think about, that we need to be aware of, and that I want to warn you about. So I do appreciate your patience. Now, 2008, we have 1 month left. Actually, we have less than a month left in the year 2008. This is the year that it all started. When we, those of us that are living right now, saw the beginning of the new Great Depression. And history will record, folks, I am very confident, they will record that the new Great Depression began in the year 2008. For most of you that are listening to me right now, we've been together long enough. I know that most of you are very smart. You have your ear to the ground as well. And you know that the media lies to us. You're well aware the propaganda machine tries to squelch what the real truth is, because we have been discussing for months now that the recession has been going on. In fact, it's on record. I believe it was 5, 10, 15 shows ago where I stated that the recession started in the last quarter of 2007 in December. So this week, finally, the government has decided to let us know that, yes, folks, guess why you have been so uncomfortable in 2008. It's because the recession started in December of 2007. We've been in a recession for most of the year. Well, it didn't surprise us, did it, folks? We knew it. So, praise God. You know, in spite of what the media tries to tell us, and in spite of the lies, in spite of the sterilized news that they try to throw at us, we're wiser than that, aren't we, folks? Now, the Greater Depression, though. Have we seen the worst? Is this it? Are things going to get back to normal? The day after Mr. Obama is sworn in on his first day in office, are things going to turn around? Is the stock market going to rally? What do you think, folks? Well, you know what? In spite of a few events that might make it seem like all is going to be well, I have very, very low confidence that everything is going to be great. Why do I say that? Because the Lord has been speaking to the prophets and warning us that we are seeing right now the unwinding, the falling apart of this country, the vaporizing of all the wealth, the trillions of dollars that have flown away into oblivion, the 401k retirement funds that are gone. God has revealed that those things are coming. God revealed in the word of prophecy that people would be living in their cars. We have seen a few people living in their cars, but a lot more are going to be living in their cars. Some of you listening to me might be living in your car, so your car is going to become your house. So be sure your house is paid off. That car note, the loan that you have in your car, pay it off, folks. Get out of debt. Because you don't want your house getting repoed, do you? Now, right now, that sounds so unbelievable. and something you can't even fathom, that very thought sounds like something in a Hollywood movie or a story that you might read in a book. But folks, this is a reality that some of you listening to me right now are going to indeed face in the coming years. Now, this time around, when the Greater Depression does happen to our country, a lot of people wonder. I've heard people talking about on the news saying, do you think the 29 crash gives us something to compare to? And I hear experts actually say, yes, the 29 crash and the lifestyle that we saw Americans endure in the first depression does compare what we can expect. But you know what, folks? I don't agree with that. I really do not agree with that, and here's why. Because today, the members of our society are not the same people that we had in 1929. I'm talking about Americans. I'm not talking about those of you in Canada or in England or in Australia. I'm talking about Americans right now. Because I know Americans. I know what Americans are like. I'm an American myself. I'll tell you what, folks. The Americans of today are not the same caliber of the Americans from 1929. Today's members of society are different. How are they different? Well, people in 1929 had life-sustaining skills. They knew how to garden. They knew how to work hard. They knew how to swing hammers. They had a different idea of what character was. They had a different idea of what hard work was. They had a different idea of helping their neighbors. Today's society, let's compare, folks. Today's society is full of arrogant, dumbed-down individuals who are spiritually bankrupt, who are biblically illiterate, and let's add to that a large portion of our society does not have the mental stamina to face the days ahead. So many in our generation are mentally lazy. They're spoiled children of a prosperous society. It's true. They can't communicate beyond discussing the rap songs on their iPods. And I'm not just talking about teenagers. I'm talking about people into their 20s and 30s. Outside their little bubble world, they don't realize what the real world is really like. Why is that? Because the schools today have had an agenda, and it's out in the open now. It's beyond debate. It's beyond argument. The schools of today have not taught our children how to use their brains, to reason through difficulties. Deductive reasoning is no longer taught. Today's society has a mentality that it can't get that bad because I'll just restart my video game. So many kids are in a virtual world today, folks. Or so many people think, well, if it doesn't work out, I can just press Control Z and undo on my keyboard and everything will get back to normal if I don't like it. A virtual world mentality, folks. This mentality has sugar-coated reality. When the going gets tough, so many of the people will have no idea what to do. They don't have the mental toughness to deal with what's coming. So to compare the 1929 crowd of society with the people of today, the people back then were much tougher, folks. So when you have people that aren't mentally tough, who live in a bubble, when you have them start facing what we're going to be facing very, very soon, this is what you end up with, folks. You end up with people that panic, who make bad choices, and who get very desperate and do desperate things. When people start losing their stuff, many of these individuals will feel that they are entitled to your stuff. What are you going to do, folks? Now, I need to qualify the statement that some people are lazier mentally and will not have the mental toughness to deal with what's coming. I need to qualify that by saying that I believe the problem is going to be much worse in the big cities than in the suburbs or in rural areas. It's not going to be pretty, folks. But these things we need to be aware of and we need to face. Now, some of you happen to be living in an area of the country where there's a large, large concentration of population and people. Maybe it's the inner city. Maybe it's not a rural area. You might be asking me, what do I do in that sense? Well, folks, I'll tell you what. While there is still time right now, I would really encourage you to seek God and try to find His will and try to find His wisdom on what to do. For some of you, it could be a sacrifice to move out of the inner city and move a little bit toward the suburbs. For some of you, it's not affordable. But these are things that really need to be addressed and thought about. I know these words are not easy. So for those of you that have little ones living with you, if you're in an area of town that is infested with gang problems, in everything there's a sacrifice, folks. Perhaps you need to be thinking about moving out of your neighborhood. Because when the cork is popped from the economy, it's going to get ugly, folks. It really is. But the worst thing that anybody listening to me can do is to do nothing and to just say it's going to be okay. If we look at the story of old Israel, when God would judge them, the prophets would go into town and warn them that it was coming. The majority of the time, the people mocked the prophets, they scoffed the message, and they didn't believe it. And then we can see a few verses later in those chapters of the Bible that those people died. They perished. There was no remedy for their lack of heeding the word of warning. Today, folks, there's prophets crying out right now. You're listening to a voice of warning right now, folks. Please, 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 folks, do not ignore this word of warning. Perhaps we have bought some time temporarily because gas has come down. And you know, a month ago or 2 months ago when it was twice as much, some people that wanted to move could not afford to move because gas was too expensive. Right now, while it's cheap, folks, this might be your window of opportunity. Something to think about, something to pray about. Now, getting back to mental stamina and mental toughness. In this broadcast, I'm going to talk about some things that have to do with mental toughness and mental stamina. And I am going to address a topic that for some of you, it's not going to be easy to hear, folks. It's not. I already know that, but I pray that you would hear me out and listen to what I have to say. The reason that I am going to share what I'm going to share is because I really feel it's an area of a lot of people's lives that doesn't really get addressed, but it needs to be addressed. Folks, times are going to be very hard in the future. They're going to be very different. We're going to be challenged with some things that we never thought we would be challenged with. We're going to be challenged to make some decisions that we never thought we would have to decide upon. During the coming time of judgment, God's light is going to shine on you, folks. Husbands, He's going to shine it on you. Wives, He's going to shine it on you. Young people, old people, He's going to shine it on us, and He's going to shake us. How many of us are going to pass this test? Time will tell. Some of us may embarrass ourselves and do things that we never thought we would do. While some others, listening to me, you might shine and find out that there's a strength inside of you that you never knew you had. A strength in God, a faith in God, and a love of Christ that is going to allow you to shine. And without the test that's coming, you never would have found this out. That's the purpose of testing, folks. When God shakes us, that's how He finds out and how we find out what we are really made of. Which group are you going to be in, folks? The equation is going to have the setting of desperation, and desperation has a way of shaking us to the core. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. So, in the days ahead, folks, when desperation comes, that's God's way of finding out what you're really made of. You know, it's real easy as Christians to talk to each other and talk about faith and trust. It's real easy to get on a forum on the internet and talk about faith and trust and put verses about faith and trust, about being patient for God, about looking to God for the answer. But until you're tested, folks, you'd never really know, do you? So this is going to be a good thing for us. The testing, the purging that is coming, it's for our own good, folks. This is why I'm sharing this message. I'm sharing this message so that you can strengthen yourself, so that you can take the time out now to get strong in God, to learn how to pray. Perhaps in the past, you never really learned how to pray. Perhaps in the past, your prayer life was over dinner or as the service would close at church. But now, folks, we all have time. While you're still breathing, folks, there's always time to improve. There's always time to get stronger. I challenge everyone listening to make their prayer life stronger than what it's been. I don't know how to pray, brother. I really want to, but I don't know how. It's real simple, folks. Get alone with God. Close the door. Tell your wife. Tell your roommate. No one lives with you. It's real easy. But you just tell them, I want to be alone. I'm going to have some devotionals with God. You close the door. Go into your room. Have your Bible with you. And it even helps if you have a little CD player where you can turn on some praise music and some worship music in the background, just lightly having it play while you read the scriptures. And as you read them, pray about the scriptures you're reading. Start out easy. If some of you have never done this, it's not that hard, folks. You take the things to God that are on your heart, that you're concerned about, your worries, your fears, your concerns, the things to God that you're disappointed with in your own life, your failings, your shortcomings. You take them to God, folks. That's all that prayer is. It's talking to our Father. I encourage that. Really, really start. Don't just do it while you're driving to work. Start talking to God every day. And folks, also make repentance a part of your daily walk. It's easy, folks. He's your Father. He loves you. He's up there just waiting with open arms to forgive. That's what it's about, folks. Now, let's talk about the economy. The jobs report came out last Friday on December the 5th. The Bureau of Labor Statistics came out with a jobs report, and lo and behold, folks, if you haven't heard it by now, last month in November, the United States lost over 500,000 jobs. That's in 1 month, folks. 533,000 people lost their jobs last month. 500,000. If you go to the month previous to that, in October, there was another 320,000 that lost their jobs. And then in September, the month previous to October, another 400,000 people lost their jobs. So in the last quarter, that comes to over 1 million people losing their jobs in the last 3 months. 3 months, folks. 1.2 million people. That's amazing. That number is incredible. So that takes the unemployment rate to 6.7%. That's the official unemployment rate, which, when you look at the population of America, concludes with over 10 million Americans unemployed right now, folks. Now, that's the official number, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because I wanted to share and bring to light something that the propaganda machine does when they try to keep the citizens asleep. When they try to keep the natives from getting restless, they'll fudge the numbers and do their little funny math to come up with their numbers. Now, out of that official rate of 6.7% unemployment, that's only taking into account those that are receiving unemployment. It does not take into account those who have given up looking for a job, or those that have had their benefits run out, or those that are having to take a part-time job out of desperation for meager sums of money, which are not even close to enough to have a living wage. For example, you have a computer programmer who used to make $40,000 a year, loses his job, and then he ends up flipping burgers 20 hours a week at McDonald's for a little over $100 a week. That's not a living wage, folks. Those people that are working part-time jobs are in the millions, and they are not summarized in this jobs report. But the government does do us a favor, because as I was reading the jobs report, I noticed that there is a section where they also tally up all the individuals in the situation that I just described. And guess what, folks? That number, for the people that quit looking, working part-time, or their benefits ran out, the actual number for November here in the United States is 12.5%. That's the real number of unemployed. Now, that number does not include people who are not in the system at all. So you can add another couple of points on top of that. And the true unemployment rate in this country, folks, is in the teens. And we're just at the end of 2008. Incredible numbers, folks. That's where we are at this point. Those numbers are depression level unemployment numbers. There is no other way to put it. There is no other way to spin it. There's no other way, folks. We are right now seeing a depression here in America. We're there. So when Obama gets sworn in next month, he is going to inherit this collapsing economy. And in the last few days, it's really interesting how the stock market has been rallying on the hopes that Mr. Obama is going to turn everything around. But folks, as I said in the last program, who can stop the wind? This is God's judgment. By the way, Obama is going to be another arm of the judgment of God. He's not here to fix things. He's here to turn the heat up. Now back to the unemployment rate. Here is the next thing to think about, folks. At the rate of unemployment increased in the country in the last year, if we continue that same rate, and we're at 7 now, that takes us to 8.5 to 9% unemployment officially by the end of 09, and then into 010, that throws us into the over the 10% range. However, what we are witnessing right now is not going to continue in a regular manner of unemployment. There's an interesting article that just came out very recently. Now, whether or not this article is true, who knows? But I still find it very interesting, and it's very sobering. I'll tell you what the article talked about. London-based CFC Economics made a very frightening prediction. They said, by spring of 09, When does the spring start, folks? March? January, February, March? It says by the spring of 2009, that's 3 months from now, the United States could be facing more than 1 million layoffs every month. Starting from the spring of 2009, we're going to be losing 1 million people a month. Now, last month, in November, we lost 500,000. The month before, we lost 300,000, and the month before, we lost 400,000. According to this report, they're saying we're going to be losing 1 million jobs per month, folks. That is incredible. Are they right? Is it really, really true? Is it possible? Could that grim forecast really, really be possible, folks? I mean, after all, Mr. Obama spoke on Meet the Press just this last Sunday, and he said that he has a stimulus package that he will not put a price tag on, but some Democrats are thinking it could be well up to $1 trillion in what it's going to cost. He won't tell us what it's going to cost, but this is what he promised, folks. He said he has some plans, and he has a jobs package that he's going to present to America. It's going to do two things. He's going to help create new jobs or save jobs that already exist to the tune of 2.5 million jobs between now and 2011. That's 3 years, folks. How does that sound to you? Right now, we have over 10 million Americans that are out of work. Obama's promising that he's going to create 2.5 million jobs or save 2.5 million jobs in the next 3 years. You know what, folks? That's not good enough. If he was the great savior, messiah, king of the world, I would have thought that he would come up with a better plan than that. Some of the elements of his plan that have been leaked out, road work projects to fix roads, to fix bridges. So those of you that used to program computers that are out of work right now, or that might have created computer chips that are out of work right now, or possibly you were in other areas where you wore a coat and tie, maybe you were a financial analyst or a realtor, you need to learn how to drive a backhoe, or you need to learn how to hold a flag and wear a protective vest, because Obama's rescue plan is going to be building roads. Okay? Mom and Dad, those of you out there, if you're a little soft around the waist, maybe you're not used to swinging a shovel or a pick, you need to start getting in shape, because that's the rescue plan from Obama, building roads. Am I being unthankful for that plan? No. But this isn't the 1930s anymore. You know, the thing that made America great during the Industrial Revolution was our manufacturing base. It was the fact that we made things here in America. We built things. Things that could be exported and sold to other countries. A rescue plan that's pouring tar in cracks in the highway doesn't really make us a great nation, because how is that going to be paid for, folks? We still do not have the manufacturing base to have tax revenue that's going to pay for the debt that this is going to incur on our country. It's just going to drive up debt, and it's going to continue the funnel down the drain of the value of the dollar. It's insane, folks. When you get down to it, it's insane. An economy built on works projects, that's not an industrial powerhouse. So this coming year, folks, 2009 is going to get very interesting. Now, there's another piece of information that I'm going to talk about as far as what banks are going to be doing in the next year that's going to strike a very, very heavy blow to our economy. It's going to be hard on the citizens of America when this happens, and it's another thing that I need to share so that we can be prepared for it. It is very real, folks. We need to get prepared now. Every one of you listening to me, continue doing what you're doing to prepare for this, folks. Getting out of debt. It's never too late for that, but you need to stop the habits of things that you're used to doing right now. You need to stop it, folks. It's possible. And those are some things I want to talk about. That car payment that you have, I've been saying it over and over and over. Get rid of your car payment. Pay off your car or sell your car now. You know, if the day comes when you get a pink slip and your wife says, how are we going to make it? And you say, we'll be fine. We have unemployment benefits. Well, when those benefits run out, how are you going to pay for your car? If you do not find a job, how are you going to pay for your car? You won't. And this is what will happen, folks. You'll be riding your bike. You'll be walking. You'll wish that you had a used car. So right now, listen to me, folks. Please, please listen to me. Get rid of your car with car payments. or pay it off if you can, and buy a used car. Or if you can't pay it off, sell it, even for a loss, and buy a used car, but have a car that is paid for. Okay, folks? Husband, look at your wife and tell her, dear, you know he's right. Wife, look at your husband and tell him, dear, you know he's right. We need to do that. Okay, moving on. For those of you that weren't able to hear, I was a guest on Rick Wiles' show last week. It was the second time he allowed me to come on, and it was a great time sharing a word of warning with his audience. And if you had a chance to hear what I shared on there, I want to talk about that topic right now, because I don't think this can be stressed enough, and this is another category of God's judgment that you really, really need to be aware of. Now, the thing that really amazes me, folks, is how many pastors today behind the pulpit have no clue that God is judging America. It's amazing, folks. Why is that? How come they won't acknowledge it? Have you ever wondered about that? I'll tell you why they do not acknowledge it, folks. It's because the pastors of today do not understand the makeup of God. They do not understand that God is more than just grace. We're under grace, brother. God wouldn't judge us. Well, if that was the case, then we wouldn't have the tribulation period in the book of Revelation, if God didn't judge. If they were correct and God didn't judge, then verses in the book of Hebrews that talked about God chastising us because he's our father should be taken out of the Bible. If God didn't judge us, then we need to strip out some verses from Peter that says he's going to bring fiery trials. You know, folks, these pastors, these shepherds, who I'm sure mean well, but they haven't been taught correctly, and they do not read their Bible correctly, and as a result of that, they are not warning their flocks that God is judging the land right now. As a result of the flocks not knowing, they're going to be caught unawares, they're going to be blindsided, and when things really, really go bad, a lot of them are going to walk away from God, their love's going to wax cold, and they're going to backslide, and potentially lose their souls, because the shepherds did not tell them the entire truth. Because the shepherds did not paint a picture of the fullness of God, which does include judgment, and it includes righteous living. Yes, God is a God of grace, but he is also a God of judgment. God's creation is a testimony of the real fullness of God. He created the institution of a family, of a father and a mother, of children. He created the institution and the concept of disciplining children. We have many stories that talk about it in the Bible. God created that, folks. And the institution of a father disciplining a child is a shadow of what God the Father does for us. He disciplines us for our own good to save our souls. So for a pastor to deny this truth, folks, this very, very basic truth, a pastor teaches their flock, you need to discipline your kids. A pastor will have sermons about being good fathers and good parents, about not letting the kids do whatever they want. And still they're blind that our Heavenly Father does the same thing. Nevertheless, in spite of the denials of the hirelings out there, folks, the judgment is happening before our very eyes. Another message that God has made very clear to his messengers in these last days is that today's church is lukewarm, backslidden, and full of idolatry. And it's also full of coveting. As a result, God wants to cleanse this from the church. That's the purpose of trials and tribulation and judgment. It's to purge us and bring us back to God, folks. Isaiah 26:9, it says, for when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. It's very scriptural, folks. Judgments of God bring us to righteousness. Now, the message that I wanted to share about God's judgment was this. Today, folks, we are the new Israel. We're the grafted branch of Israel. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're spiritual Israel, folks. We've now inherited the promise, the covenant relationship with God. We're Israel, folks. We're a holy nation. If we wanted to know how God chastised Israel in the days of old, we can look into the Old Testament and see that God did deal with Israel when she backslid. God would send the prophets to warn that he wasn't happy with her actions with the nation of Israel, and then God would judge the nation of Israel. So if we wanted to know how God would deal with us now, spiritual Israel, let's look at how God dealt with the Israel of old. In Ezekiel 14:13, it says, son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it. When the land sins, I'll stretch out my hand upon it. Now, a lot of people have said in the past, arrogant, ignorant American Christians have stated, God would not judge this country because we send missionaries out into the world. I've said that, folks. Ezekiel 14:13 does not say, when the land sins, I will overlook it because they sent missionaries out into the world. No, no, brethren. A land that sins is going to result in the judging hand of God. Period. Most Americans do not have to look very far to see that the land of America is now full of iniquity. We don't have to look far, folks. America, the largest exporter of pornography. America, murdering over 3,000 babies a day. America, openly parading and celebrating her carnality on the airwaves of TV shows and movies. Folks, we're not innocent. We're guilty as a country. But getting back to what I originally was trying to say, the scriptures mention in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 5, that when God sends judgment upon the land, he sends four categories of judgment. And that's what I wanted to mention and talk about, the fourfold judgment of God. Some of you have already heard me talk about this, but just please stay with me. If you have your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 5, folks. I want you to see this for yourself. Get your highlighter and highlight this. Ezekiel 5, verse 16 and 17. Let's read it. It says, when I shall send upon them the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and which I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you, and will break your staff of bread. So I will send upon you famine, and here it is, folks. Here's the fourfold judgment. I will send upon you, number one, famine, and evil beasts, that's number two, and they shall bereave thee, and pestilence, that's number three, and blood shall pass through thee, and I will bring the sword, there's number four, upon thee, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Right there, verse 17, folks, famine, evil beasts, pestilence, and the sword are parts of the judgment of God. What is famine? Famine is rampant starvation. Famine is difficulty in acquiring food. Here in America, what is food? Food is something you buy at the store, right? It's also a commodity, though. It's also something that is purchased with money. So food's tied to money. And when God brings famine, he allows economic crisis to usually accompany famine. Now, this present downturn, as I said before, it's not just going to be a recession that will go away in 6 months or a year. It's not going to just be temporary, folks. There are many parts of the economy that are right now failing, and it's going to result in a perfect storm. It's going to result in a situation that Americans have never, ever thought about or dreamed of, and that is this, folks. Eventually, the dollar is going to fail. Money will fail. Can you imagine that really happening? Too many sectors of the economy are failing right now, and this is going to result in that situation. Now, when the money fails, folks, the habits of so many Americans, the habitual spending of the American consumer, it's going to come grinding to a halt. A new report just came out. It was a story that came out last week, and I want to share that with you right now, folks. The top three banks in the United States, Bank of America, Citigroup, and J.P. Morgan Chase, they've announced that they're going to rein in the spending limits on millions of credit cards. This is another nail in the coffin on why the economy in 2009 is going to see some hard times. How's this going to affect you? Consumers statistically use their credit cards every year to the tune of $4 trillion a year. $4 trillion, folks. The GDP, the gross domestic product of America, is in the teens. I believe it's $13-14 trillion. Total revenue in the United States of all the combined business transactions across the board, $13 or $14 trillion. Well, $4 trillion of that number is done with credit cards. The banks have announced that they're going to cut that number in half to $2 trillion. That means $2 trillion of the American economy is not going to happen next year because credit cards will not be available to buy things. That is very, very substantial. That's a high number, folks. So next year, let's put into the equation, millions of Americans are going to lose their jobs next year. They're going to be laid off. They're going to get pink slips. Possibly some of you will lose your job next year. And it's not only going to be you, but it's going to happen to millions of people. Most of the people that are going to lose their jobs have no clue that they will not be able to find a new job. Why? Do you know why they will not be able to find a new job, folks? Because during a depression, there are no jobs. That's why. Now, in the past, when an American loses their job, they counted on unemployment benefits to see them through the dark time and the down time of unemployment. When the benefits ran out, most Americans used their credit cards to buy food, to pay bills, to pay utilities, to put gas in the car, to survive until they find a new job with their credit cards. But, folks, this is the new part of the equation. Millions of credit cards are going to be canceled. Millions of these Americans are not going to have credit cards to buy gas to put in their car, to go look for a job, or to buy food, or to pay their utility bill, or their cell phone bill. It's going to be a new world, folks. Bottom line, prepare to see Americans standing in line for food. And that's what we're going to see, folks. It's going to be very challenging. Now, some of you say the dollar's not going to fail. How do you know the dollar's going to fail? Well, it's very simple, folks. Because the dollar is being printed like it's going out of style. That's why. Because of these bailouts. So far, the unofficial figure that we have is $2 trillion have been used to bail out banks just in the last few months. $2 trillion, folks. Hank Paulson stated that the government is prepared to help bailouts to the tune of $8 trillion. That just came out a few weeks ago. Folks, money doesn't grow on trees. It doesn't come out of thin air. It's debt. Our money is financed with other countries willing to invest in our debt. China and Japan are the number one holders of our treasury bills. They're not going to feel that confident in the future. They eventually are going to start dumping the dollar because they do not like all of the debt that we are carrying. It's not a good picture, folks. It doesn't bode well for the future of the survival of our dollar. So, long story short, the dollar and the money is going to fail. The currency will collapse. When money collapses, food prices skyrocket. They go up. When food prices skyrocket and people have no money, they go to bed hungry. That's where the famine is going to come from. Now, can this pain be avoided? Can we really avoid what we're facing right now? Answer, no. Sorry, folks, it can't be avoided. The cup of iniquity is full. It cannot be avoided. God's word is sure. He says when he judges the land, he sends famine. We read it in Ezekiel. So folks, that's why I keep stressing. Right now, do everything you can to get out of debt now. Not tomorrow, not next month, not next year. Now. That's the best thing you can do. And folks, also, I encourage you to get new habits of spending. So many people are used to just spending money and blowing it and going shopping, buying things brand new. But folks, it's time for a new way of thinking. It's time to change to a new lifestyle. Quit buying things at the store retail, folks. There are so many people right now that are out of desperation selling their wares, their life's possessions, their furniture, things they hold dear. They're putting them on Craigslist and selling them right now because they're desperate. If you really, really need something, perhaps you're short of a mattress for your kids to sleep on and you really need one. At times, those things are necessary. So if you really need some furniture, perhaps you moved, you relocated, and you have no table and you need to replace the table, look on Craigslist. You can get them for pennies on the dollar, folks. Or go to a secondhand store. Yes, they have a few dings and nicks and scratches, but so what? They still function. Go to garage sales. Folks, right now, do not be getting into debt and paying retail. Sell the car, like I said. Sell your toys. If some of you folks have a boat that you don't use, you just use it once a year to go fishing on, do you really need it? Do you really need that payment that came with it? Folks, please listen to what I'm saying. Reanalyze a lot of the things that you're doing right now. Get out of debt. I cannot stress it enough. Now, I want to move on from the section of famine to the other section of the judgment of God. And this is the part where I really, really needed to communicate what was coming upon this land, because this is the warning that I'm really concerned about, folks. And it has to do with this. In the fourfold part of judgment, as we read in Ezekiel 5, we have famine, evil beasts, pestilence, and the sword to contend with as part of God's judgment. Evil beasts is the part that I want to talk about right now. When ancient Israel had to contend with this, it was a literal judgment where lions would devour the people, and wild dogs, wild animals, birds. Now, the thing that I wondered about was, could God judge America also with evil beasts? Of course, we don't have lions anymore. Well, we do have mountain lions. So could he judge America with wild animals? I want to say first off, because I've been getting some emails from some people that have been saying that yes, he could, and I did not mean to say that this judgment had no natural animals involved at all. I do believe that that is part of the judgment, but I believe that it goes further than just wild animals. Now, yes, wild animals will be included. We could see an increase of cougars, mountain lions, coyotes attacking kids. So there could be an increase of animals attacking people. But in order for it to be a judgment that affects all the people in society, it would have to be a lot of wild animals, folks. So as I was thinking about this, I wondered, how can wild animals, or evil beasts, actually is how it says it, how could evil beasts be used in judgment here in America? How could it happen? Well, recently God opened my eyes and revealed to me and showed me how this thing's going to happen. Because there are a lot of events that happen in the Bible and the Old Testament that are types and shadows of what's coming in the future. First of all, just think about that term, folks, evil beasts. In the Bible, that term beast is used for several things. Those of you that are students of prophecy in the Bible, you know what I'm talking about. But as I was contemplating that, my wife showed me a story on the internet about the ad campaign in Washington, D.C., where some atheists got together and they pulled their money and they decided that they wanted to help society and contribute to the good of their neighborhoods. So they invested in an ad campaign that said, "Why believe in God? Just be good for goodness sake." So they stuck this ad on the sides of buses, and in Washington, D.C., buses are driving around town with this on the side of their bus. And when I saw that article, I was angry, I'll be honest. I was angry with righteous anger against these atheists. And I thought to myself, surely man is so blind, that's why he's doing this. And then my wife showed me another story that talked about an internet website that is advertising, and get this, folks, this is the part that was really, really shocking. This internet website is advertising Life is Short, Have an Affair. It's a dating online service to advertise having an affair. And the way it works is married people will go to this website, pay the fee, sign up, and then meet other people to have an affair with, to rendezvous with in their town or wherever they're going to be. When they lie to their wives and tell them that they're going on a business trip, they have it all planned out to have an affair. Shocking, folks. The only words that I had for this story when I first heard it was total shock. I could not believe what I was seeing. And it grieved me. It really did. When I saw that, I told myself, am I living in the twilight zone? I told that to my wife. Where are we? And then she said, guess what? They're going to advertise on the Super Bowl on TV. I could not believe it. So I was grieved, folks. And I told God, I said, God, what is going on in our country? What is this? And then God answered my question and he explained it to me. And he told me to go to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. And when I went to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, of course, I knew the story. And that's the story of when the children of Israel got tired of the manna and they started complaining to Moses that they were tired of manna. And they told Moses that they wanted meat to eat. They wanted flesh. The King James calls it the flesh. It says they lusted and they wanted the flesh. And they cried out to Moses, we want flesh. We don't want manna. As I read that story, God revealed to me, and he said, look at this. The children of Israel did not want manna. My holy food, my life-sustaining angel food, was rejected by my people. And instead, they wanted the flesh. You want to know what's going on in your country and why a website is advertising having affairs? It's because of this story right here. So I read it, folks. And if you want to, turn to that. Turn to Numbers 11, and let's look what this says right here. Numbers 11, verse 18, this is God talking. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. So God decided, you want flesh? I'm going to give you flesh. Look what God says. Ye shall eat flesh, for you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? Verse 19, and ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month till it comes out of your nostrils, till it comes out of your nose. He said, if the flesh is what you want, the flesh is what you're going to get. And this is what God showed me, folks. Today's body of Christ has rejected the manna of God. In today's churches, today, the pastors have no interest in the manna of God. They have no interest in the secret, hidden manna that God can give, that opens our eyes to the deep things of God. The people reject that. They do not want it. Instead, they wanted messages that tickled their ears. They wanted messages that told them that they could get things, that they could increase their possessions, that told them they could get richer and wealthier, that told them they could gain more self-esteem, The people wanted messages that was part of the doctrine of demons from the prosperity gospel. The people wanted messages that denied holy living and the manna of God and instead wanted to feed their flesh. They wanted the flesh. They rejected the word. And folks, as we look in the book of Amos, it says in the last days there would be a famine for the word of God. And that's what we are seeing right now, folks. The people come with empty plates, ready to eat, and they leave hungry. But boy, is their flesh happy and satisfied. Boy, are their ears tickled. And because of this, folks, because the American church has no interest and desire for the manna of God, because the people wanted the flesh, folks, God's going to give us so much flesh now in America as a judgment. We're going to be overwrought with the flesh, folks. This judgment, it's going to be beyond our wildest nightmares. Why is that? This is what God is going to allow to happen to our land. He's going to allow this land to be overrun with carnality and the flesh. How is he going to do this? After God showed me this passage, he told me to go to the book of Revelation chapter 18. And I knew that section. He said, this is where the evil beast and the flesh comes into the picture. Turn to the book of Revelation, folks, chapter 18, verse 2, because I want you to see this. Okay, I'm going to read it. It says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So right there, folks, this is how the judgment of evil beasts is going to be upon America. Now, I plan to spend some time in the future and really dissect this whole concept, but I believe that America is Babylon. And at some point, if we are Babylon, folks, at some point in our history, we go from a country that has God shed his grace on thee to the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. There's a transition time where we go from a country where people trust in God to a time where Babylon's a habitation of demons. There's a transition time, folks. I believe that this country crossed a new era. We crossed into a new phase. We crossed into a new chapter of our existence where we went into a new era of the flavor of this country. This country is no longer a holy nation. This country is no longer a nation where the majority of people reverence and fear God. Let's not lie to ourselves. This country is now the habitation of devils. We crossed the Rubicon River on November the 4th when we voted in the last election. And when the majority of people voted for Obama, including Christians, this country crossed into a new timeline. What does that mean? God is able to restrain and hold back evil. He can. He's sovereign. But he also lets people choose their destiny and their fate. The scriptures have told us that because the people did not want the truth, but instead chose lies, God will send a strong delusion. In addition to a delusion, God is going to allow demonic tormentors to come into this country. Now, this country has already had evil, but God has opened the door, and these demonic entities are now going to flood into this country. And this is what the beast judgment is, folks. These entities of demons are going to possess groups of people in America. There are groups of people, folks, infected with demonic forces now that were not infected a year ago. And these infected people are going to carry out many vile acts against Christians in our future. Now, a lot of people in the past have said and wondered, how could we have Christian persecution in America? Americans love freedom. They understand that Christians are Christians. They wouldn't dare hurt them or persecute them. But guess what, folks? When evil runs amok, when evil is allowed to exist unrestrained, when people no longer reverence God and fear God and fear his statutes or his laws or his commandments, and they choose evil, then God allows them to be given over to reprobate minds. And he allows them to be possessed by deluding spirits. He allows them. When Jesus said, do what you must do to Judas Iscariot, and Judas Iscariot rose up and went away, what does the Bible say? The minute he chose to do that, folks, Satan entered into him. When people choose to deny Christ and the statutes of God and walk away from God, evil will enter into them. Evil spirits and demons will enter into them. Here's what's going on, folks. The new phase of the beast judgment that I'm talking about right now began around the time of the election. Since then, America has been infiltrated with many, many more demons and foul spirits. These evil entities Like I said before, folks, they are possessing carnal groups in America. And here's a list of some of the people that they're possessing right now, folks. They have infected the homosexuals in this country. They have infected members of Hollywood. They have infected members of the media. And these demons have infected and are going to continue infecting hypocritical, fake, bench-warming Christians. In the past, evil was restrained. Carnality and vile acts were restrained to close doors inside of private homes. But in the future, folks, people are going to be out in the open with their vile acts of darkness and lawlessness. It's coming, folks. Now, I want you to think about something. Did you notice that right after the election, when Proposition 8 passed in California, which made gay marriage illegal, when the residents of California voted that they did not want gay marriage to be a law? Did you see how the homosexuals responded? Did you see the news reports? Did you see how violent they were? Did you think about it? It was no accident that they acted in ways that you've never seen them act before. Now, of course, the homosexual part of this population already has been given over to a reprobate mind, but they were not violent. They were not openly blasphemous to Christians. They did not assemble together in a militant fashion in the past. But since the election, folks, we have seen them gain a new sort of confidence that you never saw them have before. Why is this? It's because of this beast judgment that I'm talking about. It's because these demonic forces God has allowed to come into Babylon, and they are infecting the homosexual community. It was just recently that the homosexual militant group Bash Back, that's what they call themselves, the militant group Bash Back went into a church in Michigan. They disrupted the service right in the middle of service, and they started throwing condoms at everybody during a church service, folks. Angry at the Christians. How absurd was it and embarrassing was it for them what they were doing? They don't care, though, because they're blind. First of all, folks, the residents of Michigan did not vote on Proposition 8 in California, but they didn't care. They just wanted to make a statement. Their statement was displayed in militant fashion, but it was also displayed violently and with much anger. We did not see that in the past, folks. This is why this judgment that I'm talking about, it's going to be a very vile judgment, and it's going to be, in a lot of ways, a nightmare that we never, ever thought about before, folks. In addition to the homosexuals that are possessed by demons, this also explains why that website that's now openly announcing adultery is now in the open. It's because these demons have infected this country. We're going to see a new phase of persecution against the church and against Christians through these demonic entities. Planned Parenthood just announced that they are offering gift certificates. Of all things, folks, during Christmas time, here's a Christmas present, a prepaid abortion in gift certificate form. Did you ever think you would see that, folks? Very, very dark times are coming ahead, folks. So this is my warning, and this is what I wanted to talk about. Prepare, folks. We need to prepare and strengthen ourselves and realize that persecution is going to be starting very soon because of these demonic beast entities that are infecting our communities now. Prepare to see advertising, folks. You're going to see things you never thought you would see before, ever. But this is the judgment of the flesh. Because the church did not want the manna of God, God has given us the flesh. And that's what all of this is, the flesh. The sins of the flesh, folks, celebrated and paraded in our face. It's going to bring great tears to so many of us. It's going to be hard to face. But folks, we have to realize up front that we understand that it's coming. That's why I want you to know that it is coming. Please be very aware that it's going to come, folks. So many of these demonic entities are going to openly mock Christianity. Jack Black just came out last week with a mockery, a blasphemed short little spoof that he did that mocks Christianity and mocks Jesus. Jack Black, he's a vile creature. He's a son of Belial. He's choosing his destiny, but he openly is mocking Christians, folks. By the way, for those of you that tolerate him, I would ask this, reevaluate that policy in the future of watching Jack Black movies. He doesn't deserve your money. And actually, you don't need to be watching his garbage anyway. But the judgment of the evil beast, folks, hopefully it will bring Christians to their knees. Hopefully the people of God will sigh and cry when they see these things happen. It's going to be a very dark judgment, folks. Very dark. Now, while I am on the topic of this demonic attack, I wanted to say quickly, this is the part that I mentioned at the beginning of the program that I wanted to touch. And I need to mention this, folks. Because there are demonic entities in your city, in your town, fluttering their wings, ready to attack and bring you misery and oppression, because they exist out there, folks, we have to be even more vigilant and ready to resist them. We need to do everything we can to not give an open opportunity to Satan to bring us down, to bring us to defeat. And that segues into what I wanted to say. Now, today, in America, there is a large portion of Americans that are walking zombies. The propaganda machine has brainwashed Americans into voluntary slavery, folks. What kind of slavery is that? It's the slavery of antidepressant pharmaceuticals. The propaganda machine has been very successful in doing this. The end result, folks, many people have voluntarily given themselves chemical lobotomies, or they have given chemical lobotomies to their children. These chemical lobotomies have been through psychotropic drugs, antidepressant drugs, and folks, this is a curse on our society. I really, really need to address this. I am sure, and I am very confident that some of you listening to me might be on some of these prescription drugs. Please hear me out. Hear what I have to say, folks, please. Our children have been sedated with these drugs. Our adults have been sedated with these drugs. They are addictive, and when a lot of people first start taking these antidepressant drugs, they do it unknowingly, and they do it because the doctor, who is the quote-unquote God over their body, tells them to. They do it. You're sad? You're depressed? This will make you feel better. Here's an antidepressant prescription. It'll help you. So the people go, they start the prescription of the Prozac or the Zoloft or whatever the other brand it is, unknowingly. They don't know what's going to happen. And at first, perhaps some of the pain leaves. Perhaps some of the stress leaves. But here's what happens, folks. These drugs have a way of taking the true reality of your existence away. And they numb people to emotions and to thoughts that are very serious. A lot of people get addicted to these, and if for some reason the people miss their prescriptions, or you run out of your prescription, or you don't have the money to replace the prescription, there is a very, very, very hard experience of withdrawal that happens to the people that are taking these. And those of you that are taking them, you know what I'm talking about. The withdrawal might include crying fits. It might include the some people describe a zapping type of experience. What is zapping? Well, that is the descriptive word for the feeling of the jolting electric zaps that people feel when they are going through withdrawal of this drug. Some people experience blackouts or amnesia. Some people experience suicidal thoughts. And folks, get this. Some people experience thoughts of killing their children and murdering their husbands or their wives, and then killing themselves when they withdraw from these drugs or while they're on the drugs. This is a very, very dark bondage. It's a very muted, squelched truth that the media does not want to talk about. Now, a few stories have leaked out here and there, but for the most part, folks, this story has been sanitized and buried. But in our society today now, if we really knew the numbers of people that were on these antidepressant type drugs, we would be amazed at the numbers. Now, folks, my job is not to lie to you. My job is to tell you the truth. I love you, folks. I only do this for one reason, because God tells me to do it and because I care about you. And that's why I have to tell you this truth. Now, these drugs have a way of giving a chemical incarceration. So, folks, when people miss their dosage, the reports are out. Now, here's some of the stories that have come out. The majority of the children that have participated in school shootings across America and in the college shootings at Virginia Tech last year, the Columbine shooting that we had in Colorado 10 years ago, Ed Harris and Dylan Klebold, we had school shootings of a person, Kip Kinkle, in Oregon, and we had the shooting on the Indian Reservation where I believe 9 or 10 people died. The majority of every one of these murder-suicides, mass murder-killing rampages, folks, were committed by people that were on antidepressants. Also, the shooting that happened at the New Life Center in Colorado Springs 1 year ago that person was also on antidepressants. This is what I'm trying to say. Something goes on in the spiritual world when people are on these antidepressant pills. There is a break, a disconnect that happens when this chemical lobotomy occurs in the people's minds. There is some disconnect where some natural wall to resist evil forces and demonic spirits is broken, and demonic spirits are able to infiltrate these individuals and take over their bodies and possess them to do things that in the natural they never would have done if they were not on these pills. This is a horrible, horrible, horrible curse on American society. Why am I bringing this up right now? Here's why, folks. Because the judgment of the evil beasts is upon our nation. There are going to be more demon spirits that want to destroy Christians. They want to destroy you. They want to kill you. They want to kill your family and your kids. If you're on these drugs, they're going to tempt you even more in the future to do some of these things. This is a very sobering message that I'm saying right now, folks. Well, brother, you're scaring me. That is sobering. It needs to be sobering, folks. I need to tell you these things. You know, I stopped at the school shootings, but I could go on. Andrea Yates, the lady in Houston, Texas that drowned her 5 children while her husband was at work, was also on antidepressants. Phil Hartman, he was an actor on Saturday Night Live. His wife was on Prozac. She got off the medicine, and she murdered him and then killed herself. I could go on, folks. Yes, I know that there's pain in your life. I am aware that you're taking these pills because you're facing things you never thought you would have to face before. But, folks, with the power of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus promised he was the comforter, you can also face these things. Now, please, please, let me say for the record, when you're done listening to this program, remember that I said this. If you're taking these drugs right now, do not get off of them cold turkey. Don't just stop. That is very dangerous to do that. Please do not do that, folks. This is what my advice is if you are on those drugs. Number one, I would ask you to take this matter to prayer. If you're married, talk to your husband or your wife about it and ask them if they would support you while you try to get off of them. That's step one. Also, take the matter to prayer and let him know that you really want to get off of these things. That's step one, folks. Don't go cold turkey yet. After that, you need to wean yourself slowly over time. It cannot be done quickly. Your body is addicted to them. The brain chemistry in your mind is addicted to these chemicals. So your body will not be able to handle cold turkey. So you have to wean yourself slowly. It might take a few months. Now, the next thing would be to educate yourself and inform yourself to get information and facts and testimonies from others that have weaned themselves from these drugs. So my advice would be get on the internet and Google and search for websites getting off antidepressants. Just think of some words that you could find, because there are websites that talk about this, folks, where people are sharing their stories and testimonies of how they got off of them. And the reason they got off is for the reasons that I'm telling you. They started realizing they were losing their mind and were going to become dangerous if they didn't get off of them. So educate yourself, number two, and try to find out how they did it, how they weaned themselves. Also, there are supplements, some herbal, natural supplements that you can take that will help to offset some of the effects. 5-HTP, write that down, and St. John's wort is also good for that. Now, folks, for the record, I am not giving medical advice here. I'm giving spiritual advice and practical advice. If you do this, do it with counsel, do it with support from loved ones or from other Christians, and do it with a lot of prayer. But it can be done, folks. I know people that have personally done this. I have friends that have done this. I have family members that have done this. They have weaned themselves of these drugs. So if you have any questions, by the way, if you need encouragement, email me, folks. Please email me. I'll be happy to talk to you about it or point you to people that will be happy to talk to you about it. My email address is watchman@watchmanscry.com, or you can go to my website and click the contact link. I would be happy to encourage you with this. But folks, this is something that really needs to be addressed, because here's another reason why you need to wean yourself now while you can. Because while you are employed right now, if you happen to have an insurance policy that pays for these drugs, and you lose your job, or your husband loses his job, and then you lose your medical benefits, you may not be able to afford buying these drugs in the future, and then you're going to find yourself in a cold turkey situation. Not good, folks, especially when you're unemployed. Suicidal thoughts will come because these beast demonic forces are out in the world. So, folks, this is practical, smart, wise advice that I'm trying to share with you. And I hope that you receive what I'm talking about. All right? Well, folks, running out of time, but I want to just say very, very quickly the two other parts of the judgment on the country. pestilence and the sword. I do not have time to talk about them, so I will try to talk to them in the future. Of course, I have the Antichrist program to talk about, so it will be one of those two things to talk about. But for now, I'm going to have to go and close up because this has gone way over time. I know this is very heavy duty, what I talked about. If you have family members, by the way, that are taking these drugs, pray about it. Be careful how you approach them. Have the wisdom of God when you approach them, because it's not an easy thing to talk about, folks. For some people, it's a very serious thing to talk about. Other people would feel very possessive about this thing. It's their sacred cow. So be very careful and have the wisdom of God when you approach this matter. All right, folks, encourage each other. I encourage you to share this with as many people as you can. Let's let it go all over the internet with everyone that we know. Folks, the days ahead are going to be very challenging. So let us get stronger and let us be prepared. God bless you, folks. I love you, and we'll see you next time.